preaching a message called Releasing the Anointing That Destroys Bondages. And the subtitle, you won't understand the subtitle until I read the text that I'm about to read. Look at your neighbor and say this. Say, neighbor. Say, oh, neighbor. I'm getting too fat for all that. Where would you get a title like that or a subject like that from? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. The Bible tells us in this chapter, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. New King James Translation. In this text, what is interesting is that the word anointing, as it's translated in this particular version, anointing oil, actually translates in Hebrew from a word that means fat. So it can actually read that the yoke will be coming off of your neck because of the fat. Now that makes no sense whatsoever, because nobody wants a fat neck. Does anybody bear witness with me? But what it refers back to is an ox. And I love this story. You've got to hear the story. That in the early days, when they would use oxen to tie them up, and they would go in circles and they would throw grain on the floor, and especially wheat, and the oxen would trample on the grain, and it separates that hard wheat from the tusk, or from the chaff, we call it. The ox would do something. The ox, as the grain would pile up, would get grain high enough to where he could start eating on the grain. And if you let the ox eat on the grain day after day, guess what happens? If you've ever noticed an ox, the neck is very thick. And if you allow an ox to continue to eat the grain, it has a yoke around its neck that is tied to a beam that causes it to go in circles to grind out the grain. But if the oxen sneaks around and starts eating the grain without the owner knowing it, pretty soon the neck gets thick. When the neck gets thick, the owner gets up one day and discovers that the yoke no longer fits around the neck of the oxen because it got too fat for all of that. I always tell people, when you don't want to go to church, it's probably when you should go to church. When you don't want to go to revivals, probably when you should set aside the time. When you feel like you're too busy to come to Warrior Fest, might be the time to set aside a couple days and get here. Why? Because if you keep on eating, you hear me, you might feel like you're Samson, blind and bound and going round and round in circles in the devil's prison house. But if you'll keep on eating the word and you'll keep on feeding on what's been given you, you'll discover one of these days you'll wake up and the yoke that the enemy has tried to put you under will no longer fit. Your yoke could be an addiction. Your yoke could be a disease that has you tied down. Your yoke could be depression. As Amanda mentioned earlier, your yoke could be fear. But in Acts 10:38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, for God was with him. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, and that means that the anointing that Jesus carried was strong enough to break any type of bondage that a human being would be under. In the Old Testament, and we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament's written in the Hebrew language. The New Testament is written in the Koine common Greek language. In the Old Testament, there is a word called Messiah. And that word Messiah is also in Hebrew, Mashiach. And the word Messiah or Mashiach means anointed one. When you come into the New Testament, you have the Greek word Christ, or English word Christ, which in Greek is Christos. And when you say Christ, Jesus Christ, you're saying Christ, which means in Greek Christos, the anointed one. So the Messiah, the Hebrew meaning, is the one who is anointed. Christ, The Greek meaning is the one who is anointed. It is the desire of God, I want you to hear me carefully, to begin to release what we call, and the Bible calls, an anointing on this generation that has never been experienced since Jesus was walking this planet. And in the Old Testament time, they would take a horn, like the horn of a cow. And of course, when they cut it off, that end is open, but they kept the smaller part sealed. And they would take a mixture of olive oil, sometimes with spices, and they would pour the oil on the head of a future king. They would pour the oil upon the head of a priest. They would pour the oil upon the head of a prophet. And what was odd is, once the anointing oil, or the moment that the anointing oil would touch the head, the forehead of that individual, the Bible tells you the Spirit of the Lord would suddenly come upon that individual. And this is how the anointing was manifested to give people wisdom, guidance, understanding, and power in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It is important that you understand the statement that I'm about to make. I was fortunate enough, and I was reading one day the Old Testament and discovered that Elijah and Elisha had schools of the prophets, where they would take these young men who were sons of actual prophets of Israel, and they would teach them how to flow in the Spirit. They would teach them how to hear the voice of God, when they had a prophetic word, when to speak it, when not to speak it. But how they learned is interesting, and I went to Israel and found this out, that when they were in the school, this group over here would read a verse from the scroll, and sometimes they would sing the verse in a form of a song, and these guys over here on the other side would sing it back to them. So it went back and forth, and this way, it's absolutely been proven neurologically that you can remember a song faster than you can remember a paragraph. If I were to put up a paragraph here, you'd read it, and maybe recall it, maybe not. If I were to add A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, if you sing it neurologically, it is easier to remember because it taps into another part of the brain, not just the part of the brain that understands what it reads or sees. But it is important, because when I read about these schools of the prophets, it is important to understand that there is a generation, and has always been a generation somewhere on earth, where there were individuals who had a special unction. That's another word used in 1 John 2:27, anointing that was upon their life. And because they had a special anointing, they were gifted in certain areas. I was blessed to have several men in my life. One of my mentors was Floyd Lahan. Another one of my mentors was Dr. T.L. Lowry. When I say mentors, I mean literally, both of these men took me under their wing. Floyd, when I was a 17-year-old evangelist in the state of Virginia, he was the evangelism director for the Church of God in Virginia. Dr. T.L. Lowry became a dear friend. I preached tent revivals for him. I preached at his church in Washington one time, a three-week revival that went almost every night. But T.L. Lowry, when I was 11 years of age, came to the Roanoke campground in Roanoke, Virginia. I've never forgot this. And I was up on the platform watching a prayer line, and he had people lined up for prayer. And there came a man that was walking limping, and he was dragging his leg, and he was walking with a cane, and he couldn't walk. I mean, literally, running, forget it. It wasn't going to happen. But Lowry was notorious, when the anointing hit him, that he'd take the cane and break it over his knee, except when it was an oak cane. That's a joke, because it's very hard to break an oak cane. Pine is one thing, oak is something else. Well, he went to break it over his knee. It didn't break, so he slung it. And he slung it in my direction. I was a kid, and I ducked to keep from getting hit in the head by the cane. But what I saw 15 seconds later changed my life, literally. Because when he laid hands on that man hit the floor, bounced off the floor like a rubber ball, jumped up screaming, started shaking that bad leg, and took off running around that big tabernacle all by without help. That is when I can tell you, I felt the Spirit of God the first time in my life. I heard people talk about it. I heard people shout, rejoice, manifestations of worship. But I had never felt the Lord till that month of June at 11 years of age. And it was that same year that God baptized me in the Holy Spirit at a church youth camp. Brother Lahan was unique, because Brother Lahan was healed when a boy came into his house and he was sick and laid a Bible on him. The boy opened the Bible and laid it on Brother Lahan and prayed when he was in Texas a long time ago, and God healed him. And ever since that moment, Brother Lahan would pray with people with his Bible. But he didn't just pray with them. He'd look at you and say, "Sir, on the back row in the black suit, walk toward me right now." And the man would start walking to Lahan, and he'd open the Bible and he'd say, "Walk into the book and tell Jesus you love him." And when that man walked into that Bible, bam, he hit the floor. Slain in the spirit, they used to call it. I watched Lahan one time call a man out. The man was going to have heart surgery. He already had it set up for the next day, decided to go to church that night. Had to have all kinds of bypasses, all kinds of blockages. And I heard Lahan say, "Quit preaching." You just quit preaching. "Sir, in the back, I don't know what you need, but God does. Walk out in the aisle and start walking toward the man of God." And the man got out and just started walking. And Lahan took that Bible and threw it all the way down the aisle. And it hit that man on the chest. When it hit him on the chest, he fell backward under the power of God and went back to the doctors the next day and said, "You know, I feel a whole lot better than I did yesterday. Do you mind checking me?" They say, "We always double check." Guess what? No blockages anywhere in the heart. Surgery canceled. See, I can remember 11 years of age being baptized in the Holy Spirit and getting what we used to call drunk in the Spirit. Now, I don't know if any of you young people have ever been drunk in the Spirit, but it's when you pray and you get so in the presence of God that you don't even know where you're at. "Well, I just don't think that's of God." Well, guess what? You're a dummy. Because it is. And they have to haul you out under both arms. We've had Warrior Fest here. I'm telling the truth. We've had Warrior Fest here where the afterglow of a Saturday night service was so strong that they could not get the kids out of the door. And they were hauling them into the van. I never will forget one youth group that after the prayer line on Sunday morning left, had a 10-hour drive to Florida. And they got there late night. And when they got there, they had been praying in the Spirit 10 hours nonstop. They've been laying hands on each other in the bus, falling out, you know, lay hands, I'm going to fall out and you fall. I mean, it was a powerful move of God in their life. And by the time they got to Florida and jumped out of their vans, they go after their parents. "Put your hands up." They start laying hands on the parents. And one couple was divorced. The boy prayed here his mom and dad would get back together. So mama thought, "I'm supposed to pick him up." Dad thought, "I think I'm supposed to pick him up from the church." Mom and dad are both there. When the boy gets out of the van, he's so full of the glory that he goes over and lays hands on his mom and dad and starts praying in the Spirit. Mom and dad fall to their knees. Guess what happens? Talk to me, somebody. I said there's anointing that can not only break the yoke, it can put somebody's family back together again. Oh, give me just a minute. I feel an unction coming on me. I feel an interview coming on me. I just want to talk to you for a minute. I want to interview King Saul. King Saul, come over here and let me ask you a question. Can you tell me what happens when the Spirit of God comes on you? Saul said, it's found in 1 Samuel 10 and 6. It says, when the Spirit of God came on me, I was turned into another man. Well, Elijah, can you come over and interview? Let me interview you and ask, tell these kids, what was it like when the Spirit of God come on? He said, I can tell you that. He said, it's found in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 46. When the Spirit of God come on me, I outran the horses of Ahab 18 miles to the city of Jezreel. Elijah, can you tell me what it was like when the Spirit of God came on you? He said, go read about it in 2 Kings chapter 13, 21. The Spirit of God filled me to the point that it got in my bones. And after I was dead, they threw a dead man on top of my bones. And a dead man came back from the dead, touching my dead bones, because there was so much of the Spirit of God on David. Can you tell me what it was like when you felt the Spirit of God? He said, I wrote about it in Psalms 18. When I said, I feel like I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Jeremiah, can you tell me what was it like when the Spirit of God hit you? He'd say, very simple. I wrote about it in chapter 20 and verse 9 of my book. I wasn't going to prophesy. I told God I'd keep my mouth shut, but he said it felt like a fire shut up in my bones. Oh, let me talk to somebody else, Peter. Talk to me a little bit about when the anointing comes on you. He said, I can tell you one thing. I had a shadow that would touch people that were sick, and when God's power would hit me, it would come through my shadow on the sick, and they would pick up their beds and walk, all because of the anointing. Paul, can you tell me what was it like when the Spirit of God came on you? He said, have you read where they brought from my body handkerchiefs and aprons, and I laid my hands on them, but there was so much of God's power in them that when they touched somebody that was sick, they were healed. When they touched somebody demon possessed, the demon came out. Oh, layman at the gate, they tell me that you were born crippled. What happened to you? He said, I came across two preachers going to church, and I asked them for an offering, and they'd already ran out of money. But I heard one say, silver and gold we ain't got, but what we have, we're going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, I was begging for alms, but I got a new set of legs instead. Jesus, can you tell me how much authority did you have when the Spirit of God came on you? He said, I remember a band of men, a Roman band of 600, and a band of men are coming in the garden at night with torches, lanterns, spears, and swords to arrest me. And he said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for somebody named Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, and literally in Greek, he said, I am. King James said, he said, I am he. He is in italics. He didn't say he. They said, we're looking for Jesus. And Jesus said, I am. Which, if you read it in Hebrew, is the same phrase that God said to Moses, I am that I am. And something came off of Moses' feet when he heard, I am that I am. Read your Bible. Jesus said, when I said I am, your Bible tells you that the entire band of men fell out backwards. 600 men fell to their back, all because of two words that were spoken by Jesus when he said, I am. I'm telling you something. When you go into this book and you will go into this Bible, you'll discover that the Spirit of God and the anointing of God was the key to every miracle that ever happened. That the Spirit, oh, you don't hear me. I'm trying to tell you that if the Spirit, the Bible said, that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, that Spirit shall also quicken, make alive your mortal body. If you want to know why, you see people shaking. If you want to know why, you see people shimmying. If you want to know why, you see people jerking. If you want to know why every now and then somebody's flipping and somebody's flopping, you see in the Bible, it talks about when God came down on Mount Sinai. And it said, when God came down, the mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. And David wrote and said, what ailed you, Jordan River, that you had to open up when Israel showed up? What caused you, Mount Sinai, not a shake when God's voice was heard on top of you. And I read that one day and I said, wait a minute. I hear people say that God doesn't have the power to move me. I go to church and fold my arms and sit there and hear a sermon and enjoy the music and go home. But I've come by to give you a revelation from David. If Mount Sinai, which is made of rock, if Mount Sinai, which is solid stone, if Mount Sinai can shake, God can shake a man. I wish somebody in the back would help me in this place.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include Cribs in the Crossfire, Pornography, the Electronic Seduction, Infants, Children, and Pregnant Women at the Time of the Rapture, Secrets to Protective Prayers, Beware of Becoming a Scammer's Victim, Preparing for a Sudden Societal Breakdown, Forming an Apocalyptic Family Plan, Protocols and Wisdom to Outwit an Attacker, Protecting Your Church, Your Ministry, and Your Congregation, Dangerous Places to Be Living When the Birth Pains Begin, When Is It Time to Flee to the Mountains, The Curve That Rules the Beast, The Babel Effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new 2-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise you, you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols, because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep manifest on the air. Hey, I wanted to do something. I wanted to extend the manifest offer for this week and next week, and then it will be concluded as far as we're concerned, as far as our part. And that is the book, Children of the Apocalypse. Now, you know, when you look at the name of this, you think this book is about children. It is not. It is about raising your family in the end time. If you're a parent or if you're a grandparent, and you are concerned about the security, the safety of your church, your family, your home, that's what this book is about. All the protocols that are involved with it. And I don't know if you would call it how to successfully raise your entire family, and all that you're going to have to deal with, and all that you're going to have to deal with, you know, teaching doctrinally. We have people all the time call us and say, should I leave California, the West Coast? Should I leave and move here? Should I leave the Northeast? Should I do this and that? We go into a lot of the questions people have asked me about moving and movements and where's going to be safe and where's not going to be safe in this book. And I have to tell you something, I really hope you'll listen to this, because one of the great messages this year was called Birth Pain Cycles 2026 and Beyond. There's a four-year period. I found out that the cycles of prophecy run in four-year cycles. And I thought, whoa! And then I did one teaching on this, and I went ahead and put it in this album. And then Unleashing the Pre-Tribulation Signs. You have a lot of people saying, we're in the tribulation, the horsemen are riding, the seals are being broken. And I want to try to correct all of that. You know, a lot of people that are, and this is not good or bad, but a lot of people that are becoming involved in teaching the prophetic word are not people that have maybe a background the way I've been blessed to have, of four generations of preachers, theologians, godly men that have been in my life, Greek scholars, Hebrew scholars. These are people that have been in my life as a teenager. And so I feel like that we're very sound in what we preach. We're not way out there on this side and way out there being goofy with that and coming up with all kinds of crazy stuff. We believe we are very sound in what we teach. Get the offer today. And by the way, the only way to get the book signed with with Jonathan and myself is through the ministry. Order it, and that's how you're going to get it. I want to say something too. You can go to my itinerary and look at where we're coming to. Redemption Church in Knoxville on the 12th through the 14th of June, and Trinity Christian Center in Alaska, Saldana, Alaska, 17th to 21st. And then, of course, in the month of August, we've got Christ Temple, Willis Family Faith Church. So perrystone.org, look at that and get the itinerary. Now, listen to me very carefully. There's two things I want to tell you. Number one, we are completely revamping our partner strike force into something brand new, and to something that's going to be the largest partner benefits, I'm telling you, of any ministry in the United States and maybe any ministry in the world. This is absolutely going to be fabulous. It was a God idea, and I'll be doing a special YouTube video and a special TV program somewhere in the future, probably in sometime in May, to introduce what we're about to do. So I want you to be ready to look at this. I've been telling some of my partners about it, and they're like so excited. They're like, oh, Perry, can't wait. So we're believing God for that. The second thing is, in the month of October, at what we call the main event, we're doing a 50-year anniversary homecoming. And I don't want to get into the details. We're going to have morning speakers. I'm going to be preaching at night. Linda Cool is going to do the main music. But we have a major singing group coming Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Pam's Fall Festival, special events, special guests, special videos you've never seen before. We're going to have some things. It's homecoming, just like the old-time homecomings you used to be a part of. And it's going to be music. Southern Gospel Hand Clapping Foot Stomping Revival, and I'm going to be preaching old school revival the way I did when I was a kid preacher right here. And God's going to give me the strength to give you messages, and we're going to have camp meeting revival. So that's in the month of October. I'll be telling you about that later. Perrystone.org, Perrystone Ministries Facebook page, Perrystone YouTube channel. God bless you.